Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. اما بعد اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ویوز اف مدری چینل پلیز ریپیٹ آفٹر می الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ ویلکم ٹو دا پروگرام ٹو نائٹ ود مدنی چینل بفور وی بگین وٹ وی گن ٹاک اباؤٹ ٹو نائٹ وی گن گیو یو ا بلیسنگ آف ریسائٹنگ درود پاک اپن دا پروفٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم دا پروفٹ آف اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی وسلم ہیز سیڈ دیٹ ہو ایور ریسائٹ صلاۃ اپن می 100 ٹائمز ان دا نائٹ اینڈ دا ڈے آف فرائیڈے اللہ عز و جل ول ففل 100 آف ہز نیڈس 70 آف دا ہیئر آفٹر اینڈ 30 آف دس دنیا Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. In this particular hadith, we are told that on the night and the day of Friday, Islamically, the night starts at Maghrib. So the night becomes before the day. So when we're talking about the night of Friday, here, as we traditionally, as we are brought up thinking, it will be Thursday after Maghrib, that is the night of Friday. So between after Maghrib on Thursday night, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak, especially, well, make a habit all the time. But on that particular time, after Maghrib and before Maghrib the next day, i.e. within 24 hours, then we are told that if you recite Durood-e Pak 100 times, now 100 times doesn't take a long time, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, let's say it takes 10 minutes, it won't even take 10 minutes. But let's say it does, 10 minutes is all I'm asking for you. And for them 10 minutes, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal will fulfill 100 of your needs, 70 of the hereafter and 30 of this dunya. And who is telling us this? None other than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whatever the Prophet has said, inshallah, is the truth. So please act upon this and recite Durood-e Pak 100 times on the night, on the day of Friday, and try make a habit. We keep on saying this. Try make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak as often as you can. Set yourself a routine. Islam teaches us to set routines. The 5 daily prayers are there for discipline. The month of Ramadan is there for disciplining ourselves. And Islam teaches about disciplining ourselves. So during this time, discipline yourself. Get into a habit of disciplining yourself and reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is stated that Sayyidina Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Zayed rahmatullahi ta'ala has narrated that I heard Sayyidina Abu Bakr Attar rahmatullahi ta'ala saying, at the time of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi's demise, some of my companions and I were present there. We saw him offering salah in a sitting position due to weakness, just a little time before his demise. So he was just close to the time that he was passing away. But because he was ill, because he was weak, he was offering his salah sitting down. Both of his feet were swollen. When he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, performed ruku and sujood, he would turn one of his feet due to a lot of pain. When my companions saw this condition, they said to him, O Abu Qasim, what is this? Why are your feet so swollen? He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said, Allahu Akbar, this is a blessing. Sayyidina Abu Muhammad Hariri, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said, O Abu Qasim, what is the harm if you lie down? He then said, I have time in which some good deeds can be performed. Then no chance will be given. He then said, Allahu Akbar, and he passed away. Allahu Akbar. It has also been narrated that when he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was told, Hazur, have some mercy on your body. He replied, now my book of deeds is being closed. At this time, who will be needier of good deeds than me? Viewers of Madani Channel, we can see from this that even at that crucial moment, even at that moment where Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala was close to passing away, what was he trying to do? He was trying to attain good deeds. He was trying to get the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. He was trying to attain all these blessings. And so from this we can see the greed for performing good deeds of our pious predecessors. They, even at a time of death, they had this greed And normally when we use the word greed, we talk about something that is not good. But in this particular case, we're talking about greed of good deeds, running after those good deeds. Even though his feet were weak, even though his feet were swollen, even though he was in pain, he did not give up this opportunity to perform the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla and get as much good deeds as possible. It is said that when he was younger, Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah used to trade in mirrors. He used to buy and sell mirrors. And during this period of time, it is said that his routine was that when he would go to his shop, he would drop the curtain of his shop and he would offer 400 rakat of nafil salah. He continued this practice for a long period of time. After leaving the shop, he then went to Sayyidina Sari Sakhti and he became an ascetic. And in one of the rooms of his home, and he started protecting and guarding his heart. It is said that similarly, he, Ramatullah, spent a long period of 40 years. It was his routine for 30 years that he would stand and he would say, Allah, Allah, Allah from Salatul Isha until the morning, performing Salatul Fajr with the same wuzu. And he, Ramatullah, himself said that he had not missed the first takbir for 20 years of his life. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madri Channel, how beautiful the way of living was of our pious predecessors. That they used to earn an halal sustenance during the day, and they used to spend the night in zikr and worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whereas if we look at ourselves, we are wasting our lives in useless activities. Our pious predecessors used to perform good deeds right to the last breath. Whereas today, people who spend their entire lives in heedlessness, even when they get to the old age, they still do not perform good deeds. You know, there's a lot of people that when they're young, they say, you know, when I get a bit older, I'll start reading my namaz. When I get a bit older, I'll start fasting during the month of Ramadan. When I get a bit older, I'm going to start reading the Quran. Number one, who can guarantee you're going to get old? And number two, what we're seeing is that a lot of people that when they get old, they still don't have the blessing, the tawfiq, the ability to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when you are young, when you have that strength inside you, you can do the ibadat. When you get old, when you get weak, it gets harder. So once you have that strength, do it. Don't wait for anything. Don't put any excuses in front of you that when this happens, I will do it. When this happens, don't when. Now. Yeah. We see people say, oh, you know, when the month of Ramadan comes, I'm going to grow a beard. When the month of Ramadan comes, you know what? I'm going to start reading the Quran. When the month of Ramadan comes, I'm going to make sure I read my 5 daily prayers. When the month of Ramadan comes, when all these things, when. When. How can you guarantee that when will happen? You know, when I get my child married, then I'll do this. When I build that house, I'll go on Hajj. As soon as Hajj becomes farz upon you, then you need to perform it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala isham. Our prized predecessors, they were also loyal to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala isham. But today, we're loyal to fashion. Today, we don't look for what is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala isham, what I need to do to benefit myself. You know, the pious predecessors used to travel in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They used to sacrifice their lives traveling in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They used to spend their wealth in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And now when we say to you, do you want to go on a holiday to a place where it's hot and it's sunny and there's a beach there or whatever, then you'll book a week off or a fortnight off. But if we say to you, look, travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla for 3 days, we find it very hard. Yeah? If we say to you, look, you know, let's go out for a meal. Let's go to a restaurant. Let's go to a hotel. Let's have some food. Let's have a takeaway. And we'll spend 20, 30, 40, 50 pound. Yeah, and we won't blink an eye about it, that we're sat with our friends spending 50 pound each, 30 pound each, 20 pound each. We won't blink an eye. But when it comes to giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, we dig deep in our pockets and we find them coppers. We find them coins that are weighing down in our pockets. We find them coins that are causing a hole in our pocket. And only that do we spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or do we spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla and a calamity happens? And then we remember Allah Azza wa Jalla. We need to get into habit of remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla all the time. Remember, very soon, and how long is soon? I can't tell you that. But very soon, we're going to enter a dark and lonely grave. How long is that time? We don't know. How long is that time before you're in that grave? We don't know, but it's going to happen. For others, it's going to be quicker rather than later, sooner rather than later. And you know, someone gave the example once that imagine standing in a line. You're in a line and you've got a barrier at the side of you. And you're hearing gunshot wounds. And every time you hear a gunshot wound, you take one step forward. And you ask people around you, what's happening? And they said, whoever gets to the front of the queue is shot. Yeah? And so every time someone's shot, we move one step forward. When we get to the front of the queue, we're going to get shot. Imagine yourself being in that situation. And you can't look to see how long the queue is, because you've got railings at your side. You can't move to the back of the queue either. You can't jump forward, you can't back, you can't get out of the queue. You're stuck there. All you can see is the person in front of you. You can't see anything else. But sooner or later, what's going to happen? You're going to see that person with the gun there pointing at you and shooting you. What would your situation be then? What would your situation be in that time period where you stood in that queue waiting? Now, what happens with the majority of us? The Imam Sahib tells you this. The Mubalika Dal Islami tells you this, that you are going to die and this is going to happen. And for a few moments, maybe a few minutes, maybe a few hours, maybe even a day or so, you have this fear inside you. I'm in the queue. I'm moving forward towards the queue. I don't know what's going to happen. So what happens is, for them few moments, for that small amount of time, you start reading the Quran. For that small amount of time, you start doing the zikr. But then what happens? You become heedless. And you think to yourself, you know what? I don't have, the queue could be really long, yeah. The queue is this, thousands of people in front of me. Yeah, I've got loads of time. I'm only 18, I'm only 25, I'm only 35, I'm only 45. I've got nothing to worry about, yeah. And so what happens is you become heedless and you start doing those things you should not be doing. And whilst you're doing those things that you should not be doing, what's going to happen is sooner or later, you're going to find yourself at the front of the queue. But then it's too late. Then it's too late. When the angel of death comes, when that happens, you will not have one moment left. Fortunate is he, very, very fortunate is he who has the opportunity to recite the kalma when the angel of death comes. I would consider him the luckiest person. But us, what are our chances? Are we even worried that at that crucial moment in time, we might even lose our iman? Have you ever thought about what could happen? You know, they say that shaitan comes to you at that moment in time. Shaitan comes to you and tries to convince you. He comes to you in your form of your father, your mother, your loved ones, and he tries to convince you that you are on the wrong path. Leave the deen of Islam. And you know what? You're in so much pain at that time, your intellect might not be working. You know, they say that. You know, when people are working and they have a toothache, yeah? You've got a toothache and people take a day off work. Tell me how many people work with the teeth? They don't. But that toothache affects the whole body. It affects the mind. It affects everything. And you just can't concentrate. You can't work. Why? Because you've got a toothache. And if because of a toothache, you take a day off work, because of a toothache, you cannot work. You cannot think properly. Think about the pain you will be feeling at the time of death. Will you be able to think properly at that time? What have you done to try and protect your iman? Are you even concerned about those things that you might be doing right now that you could lose your iman with? And inshallah, in the coming programs when we have them during this period, we'll talk about those actions. Inshallah, we'll talk about those actions that can cause you to lose your iman. But today what we're talking about having that greed to get good deeds. You know, the definition of greed, I'll give you the definition of greed. Greed can be defined as not being content with anything and always wanting more. The person is called greedy, who wants more. For example, to desire more wealth, this passion, or to desire it, is called greed. While the person who becomes a victim of this passion is called a greedy person. So normally we use the term greed for someone who's greedy for wealth. And it is generally understood that greed is only related to money and wealth. But this is not actually the case. Because greed and excessive desire for absolutely anything, whether money or anything else, is also called greed. So a person that is greed for money, he's called greedy. A person that has this greed for food, he's called greedy. So all these people that are greedy for wealth, greedy for food, they're called greedy. Also, that person who's greedy for good deeds, he can also be called greedy. So there's a difference between these types of greed. So the one who desires more greeds will also be classed as greedy for more deeds. But the person who also desires to increase his burden of sins, desires to carry on committing sins without any worry about him, he'll be classed as someone that is greedy for sins. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that none of us become greedy for sins. Alama Abdul Mustafa Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has mentioned, passion for greed is found in food, clothing, residence, goods, money, respect or fame, in short, in every blessing. Dear Islamic brothers, viewers of Money Channel, greed is a characteristic that is a part of the human nature. Whether it is an infant, a strong young man, a weak man, or an old man, in short, everybody suffers from greed and we need to learn to control that greed. Some of the acts which are related to greed are rewardable and some are punishable, whereas some are permissible, but there's no benefit in them. So basically, there's three types of greed. Number one, hirse mamud, good greed. To desire to have abundant wealth, for example, so that it can be spent in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you have this greed that I want to earn as much money. Why? Because I want to be able to spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is called a good greed. Hirse mazmoom, a bad greed. The desire to get wealth so that a bad act can be formed. For example, you want to get as much wealth as you can so that you can regularly go to the cinema. You can go and waste it in gambling or smoking or drinking alcohol. You can waste it in partying. You can waste it on going to those places that are going to collate you sins. That is called a bad greed. Hirsi mubah, permissible greed. This is the type of greed where you have a desire to have an abundant wealth without any intention. You just want to have that money. You want to have a lot of money without any good intention or without any bad intention. So that is mubah, yeah? And you can change your intention. Your intention can be changed that when you get that money and you say, oh, I'm going to spend it in this way, then it becomes a good greed for that money. Or when you get that money and you decide to spend it in a bad way, then it becomes a bad intention. But we, my viewers of Madani Channel, we should use our greed for those acts that can bring us profits in this world and the hereafter. Not just acts that will bring us profit in this world. And that's where we're getting it wrong. That's where we're getting it wrong. What we're doing is we're greedy for those things that will only benefit us here. Those people that say, yes, well, I need more money. I want to have a nice car. I want to have a nice... Yes, I ain't got a problem. We haven't got a problem with that. Yeah, there's nothing wrong in having a nice car, a nice house, and all these things. There's nothing wrong with it. But we should also have that greed that enables us to have that nice car, to have that nice house, but also to be able to spend that money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If you are honest with yourselves about the amount of wealth, amount of money, or amount of cash that you have, even in your house today, the amount of cash that maybe you've even got in your wallet right now, the sisters, the amount of cash you've probably got in your purses, or the amount of cash that you've got hidden at home, or whatever it is. And now look at our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world that are not in such a fortunate situation as we are. You have probably got more money in your wallet, in your bag, in your purse, under that pillow, hidden in the cupboard, than many, many people in countries around the world don't earn in a full month. You have got more food in your house, in your cupboards, in your fridges, in your freezers, than people can buy in a full month. It's not wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I'm saying is that greed for these things, okay, but at the same time, when you have these abilities, when you have that money, remember those that are not fortunate as you and spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. With regards to greed, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, part 4, Surah Al Imran, verse 133. And rush towards forgiveness from your Lord, and towards a paradise that can hold all the heavens and the earth in its width, prepared there for the pious people. Rush towards it, run towards it, be greedy for it, go for it. This is what we need to be doing. On page 53, volume 2 of Siratul Jinan, it has been mentioned in the tafsir of this blessed verse, hurry towards forgiveness from your Rabb, Allah Azza wa Jalla, and towards paradise by repenting of sins, performing actions which have been made obligatory by Allah Azza wa Jalla, acting upon good deeds, and by creating sincerity in all our deeds. Allahu Akbar. Run. Rush towards the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, rush towards the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, if we look at our life goals, what are our goals? Ask yourself, what are your goals? You have a goal that you want to drive a certain car, you want to have a semi-detached house, you want to have a detached house, you want to have house with a garden, you want to have a patio, you want a conservatory, you want to be able to go on holiday every year, you want to be able to build that house back home, you want to do all these things. Them are your goals. Tiga, no problem. Okay. How many of us have the goal of paradise? How many of us have the goal to please Allah Azza wa Jalla? How many of us have that goal that when we leave here, leave this dunya, we leave with iman? Now if you have this goal, then you will plan towards it. In the same way that you have that goal that you want that semi-detached house or detached house or bungalow, or you want to do this, you work towards it. You say, you know what, I'm going to have in 2 years' time, I'm going to have this, in 3 years' time, I'm going to have that, in 4 years' time, I'm going to have that, and I'll be in a position where I can have that house, I can have that car, I can have this. But what about the hereafter? What about planning for that? What about putting time aside where you're going to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that you're going to get them good deeds? What about putting time aside on a daily basis to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla? What about putting time aside on a daily basis to read the Quran? What about putting time aside to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? What about putting money aside to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Rukn Shura Abdullah Habib, I came, and the Granny Shura came to the UK, and with them there was a few people that had come from Pakistan. And I was impressed by, there was a young man there, and he was a businessman in Pakistan. And he said to me that, I have decided that whatever profit I make, as soon as I work out my weekly profits for that week or that month, I take 12% out and I spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. What a great intention to make. Now, and I pray that that person is acting upon that intention. And my husn-e zan is, good feeling is that that person is acting upon that intention. But why do we not have that intention? That we will spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Those of us that have, I met one person, he's got a garage. And he has a Dawat Islami money box. And every day he says that, you know, whenever a car comes into the workshop, I put £1 in the box. What a great intention to have. Those people that, I know people that drive taxis, and every day they have a money box in the taxi, and every day they put something in the box before they start driving. And at the end of the day, they look at the takings and they put something in the box. Spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, that pound that you put in today might not seem a lot, but that pound on the Day of Judgment might make all the difference. Allahu Akbar. Mentioning the virtues of good deeds, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also persuaded us in this regard. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, desire that thing which benefits you. Beg Allah Azza wa Jalla for help and do not be disappointed. Desire that thing which benefits you. What benefits you? Yes, that car will benefit you. Yes, that house will benefit you. Yes, the nice clothes will benefit you. But what we're talking about here is them good deeds that will benefit you in the hereafter. Them good deeds that will benefit you when you're in that dark and lonely grave. Them good deeds that will benefit you on the Day of Judgment. Them good deeds that will benefit you when there'll be nobody there to help you. Nobody there to give you any help. There'll be no mobile phone that you can phone somebody up to help you. There'll be no call center that you can phone up and say, can you please help me? I've got this problem. No, on that day, you're on your own. And the only thing you're going to have is your deeds. Not your money. Not your detached house. Not your sports car. Not your koti back home. Not your land. Nothing. The only thing you will have are your good deeds. So from this blessed hadith that we have mentioned before, it has been learned that she will perform those acts which benefit our hereafter, to get the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But unfortunately today what we are seeing is we'll see people queuing up for hours to get a ticket to watch a new film. But they're not queuing up to go into the masjid. They're waiting for a certain mobile phone is happening, you know, being released, a new mobile phone being released, and it's going to be released at a certain time at night, and you're staying up in the middle of the night so you can click the button and get that mobile phone. You're queuing up, you're waiting there so that you can, yes, I've got that mobile phone. Yes, I bought it. Yeah. Whereas if only we spent that time rather than waiting to be able to buy that mobile phone, waiting, queuing up to buy that ticket, waiting to buy this or waiting to buy that, if you spend that time in remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, people buy newspapers or they go online and they read articles and they read booklets and they read all sorts of things and they'll spend hours and hours reading them. Yeah, and they haven't got an issue with that. They'll read the whole newspaper, you know, these big newspapers, the educational ones, they read the big newspapers from cover to cover, cover to cover, and they'll spend an hour reading them, 2 hours reading them, 3 hours reading them. But that same person, you ask him to read the Quran, they find it hard. I remember we went somewhere, and we went to give Nikiki Dawa to these solicitors in a town. And we went to their offices, and we were sat there talking about the deen. And one thing the solicitor said to me, he said to me, when someone phones me, a client or a customer or anybody rings me, even if it's not a client, he said, even if you were to phone me, he said, I would have no problem talking to you for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and after I've spoken to you for 45 minutes, I can see I've spoken to you for 45, okay, never mind, it's okay. I'm not bothered. And I know sometimes that when somebody rings me, I'm going to be speaking to them for 20 minutes, for half an hour. I have no problem. He said, what I have a problem with, and I find really, really hard, is to put that phone down, screen lock my computer, get up, and read my namaz for 5 minutes. He said, I find it really hard to do that. And again, it's because the mentality is there, that we will spend our times doing all these things. Yeah, but then shaitanic whispers will come to you, I haven't got time for this. I haven't got time to read my namaz for 5 minutes. I haven't got time to read my Quran for a half an hour. I haven't got time for this, I haven't got time for that. You've got time to go on your social media pages for half an hour. You've got time to go and play your computer games for hours and hours and hours. You've got time to watch dramas, you've got time to watch films, you've got time to do all these things, but you've not got the time to open up the Quran and read a few verses of the Quran. Amirul Sunnah. In the Madani Namaz card, what is the Madani Namaz card, my dear viewers? The Madani Namaz card is a small booklet that Amirul Sunnah has given us. And in this small booklet, it's like a self-rectification. In there, it'll tell you, have you done this? Have you not done this? You shouldn't be doing this. And it reminds me, don't do this, do this. And every day you say, yes, I didn't do it. Yes, I did it. Yes, I did it. Yes, I did it. And in there, Amirul Sunnah says to us, read the Quran, 3 ayats of the Quran every day with translation and commentary. Just 3 ayats of the day. How long is that going to take? Those people that are within the mahal, within the environment of Dawah Islami, those brothers that perform and go to the masjid where Dawah Islami performs the Fajr Halqa, they sit at the Fajr Halqa, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, if that, maybe even less. The imam or whoever it is will recite 3 ayats of the Quran. He will give the translation and the commentary within 10 minutes. And you're saying you've not got 10 minutes? Allahu Akbar. We need to plan our time, allocate our time, and be there. Yeah? Use our time properly. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala one day he asked this at the time of Fajr, just after the Fajr prayers. Who amongst you is fasting today? There was only Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala who replied, humbly, that I am. He was then asked, who amongst you has attended a funeral today? And he humbly replied again, I have. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again said, who amongst you has given the miskeen, a poor person, food today? And he, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, humbly replied, I have. He was then asked, who amongst you has visited a sick person today? And he replied, I have. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone who possesses these good qualities will enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. You know, there's a recipe for paradise for all of us. A recipe for paradise. That he observed the fast, he attended the funeral, he gave food to a miskeen, and he visited a sick person all in one day. When do we do this? Do we take time out to go and visit someone that is sick? And when we do, why do we do it? Do we go and visit them because they are sick, to care for them, to see how they are, and to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Or do we go there because, you know what, if I don't go there, then I'll be upset. Yeah. What would the family say if I don't go and visit him? If I don't attend that funeral, then people will see that, oh, why didn't he turn up? Yeah, he should be here today. Why is he not here today? And so we turn up for the funeral. We go to visit someone that is sick. Why? Because what will people say if I don't? So if that is your intention, that what will people say if I don't, then yes, you'll get that. People won't say anything. But if your intention is to go there and do dua for the deceased, go to the hospital or to the house and ask about the person that is sick and get them to do dua for you. If your intention is to go there for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and get the reward that is associated with that, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla will get that. So it's all dependent on your intention. If your intention is just to please people, then you will please people. But if your intention is to get the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if your intention is to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in this particular case, acting upon the sunnah of Siddiq Akbar with the hope and the ameed that we will attain paradise. These should be our intentions. We should try and do them and should try and fast. These nafil fasts that we should fast. The leader of the believers, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, was attacked with a dagger before Salatul Fajr. Despite being severely wounded, he offered salah to the last breath of his life. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Miswar bin Mukarrama radiallahu ta'ala said that when Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam was wounded with a spear, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala went to Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala and a cloth was tied on him. We said to everybody, we each said to each other, that he will only get up quickly for salah. We humbly said, O leader of the believers, salah. Having heard this, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he got up and he said, by Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who misses his salah has no part in Islam. Allahu Akbar. He radiallahu ta'ala then offered the salah in the state of being wounded. Allahu Akbar. What excuses do we make for missing the salah? And I'm using the word excuse. On purpose I'm using the word excuse because they are excuses. There is no excuse to miss your salah. If you're in a state that you can't get up, then read it sitting down. If you're in a state that you can't sit up, then read it lying down. There is no excuse for missing the salah. But we make 1,001 excuses. The boiler's not working, the water's going to be cold. I'll get a fever, I'm not going to read the namaz. Oh, I'm a bit tired, I'll read it tomorrow. I just want to watch the end of this film, I'll watch the end of this film. Oh, I've missed my salah, never mind. Oh, I'm going out with my friends, I haven't got time to read my namaz. Oh, I've got to be at such and such place, at such and such time, and because of that, I can't read my namaz. You're at a wedding, you're eating the food, and you think, nobody else is getting up. Oh, never mind, I'll miss my salah as well, nobody's doing it here. It's not going to wash on the Day of Judgment. If you're asked that, why did you not read your salah on that day, you can't say, well, nobody else was reading it. The question is going to be asked, why didn't you read it? You're traveling in your car. The namaz time is coming to an end. It's coming to a time where you've got to miss your salah. You're going to miss your salah. What are you going to do? I'm traveling. It's raining. I can't do it. No, stop the car. What harm will it be if you read the namaz in the rain for a few moments? You know, someone said, and I think I've said this a few times before, that when you perform a sin, whatever the sin is, yeah, and you ask people, why do you perform the sin? They say, we perform the sin, why? Because we enjoy it. We enjoy committing adultery, we enjoy smoking drugs, we enjoy drinking alcohol, we enjoy gambling, we enjoy doing these things. Allah, astaghfirullah. The pleasure that you get from that sin will soon disappear. What will stay with you is the sin. The sin will stay with you forever. But that hardship of having to read your namaz, yeah, maybe you're traveling and you're having to stop at a service station and you get your janamaz out and you read it there and it's a little bit cold. Or the fact that you're having to stop at a service station and you get some water at the car and you perform the wuzu at the side of the car and it's cold water and you're getting cold. That wuzu, that cold that you're feeling, that shivering that you're feeling, when you read your namaz, how long does it last? Okay, you get a fever, you get a cold, how long does that last? It only lasts for a short amount of time. The pain lasts for a short amount of time. But the good deed lasts forever. So we need to make a habit of reading our salah. Salah, viewers of Madani Channel, is that act that leads to paradise. Salah is the best deed for all the believers. Salah is the nur for all of us. The one who performs salah, he's actually talking to Allah Azza wa Jalla without any representative. Paradise, we are told paradise becomes wajib for the person who offers 2 rakat salah with humbleness. 2 rakat salah with humbleness. 2 rakat salah, we are told, is better than the world and whatever it contains. Salah is the favorite deed given by Allah Azza wa Jalla. For every sajda in salah, 1 virtue is recorded, 1 sin is removed, and 1 rank is elevated. A person who performs salah will be made to enter paradise safely on the Day of Judgment. Salah removes your sins. Salah washes away the dirt and filth of sins. One salah washes away the sins which were committed between this salah and the previous salah. You know, when you wash yourself, yeah? When you wash yourself, depending the amount of dirt that's on your hand depends on when you last wash yourself. If you've not washed yourself for a long period of time, there'll be a lot of dirt on your hand. But if you're constantly washing yourself, your hands will never get dirty. If you're constantly praying salah 5 times a day and you're doing the nafl salah as well, then these sins will never come to you because you're constantly washing away those sins. Salah destroys evil. A salah offering person spends his night peacefully. Those people that struggle to sleep at night, those people that are anxious and struggle all night, read your salah. A salah offering person will enter paradise. Innocent angels intercede with Allah Azza wa Jalla on the salah offering person's behalf for forgiveness. A salah offering person is protected by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Salah makes dua for the protection of the salah offering person. A salah offering person is a perfect believer. A salah offering person will be given the full return of that salah. And salah disgraces shaitan. Viewers of Madinah Channel, please, for the sake of your iman, get into a habit of reading salah. We say it so many times, but for some reason that shaitanic whisper continues in our mind that Tiga, he's told us, yeah, we know it's important to read our number. Yeah, we know we need to read our number. Yeah, but. What's but? What but? There is no buts. Read your namaz. There's no excuses for reading your namaz. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, has said that on one day Sayyidina Uthman Ghani was present before the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala, you will be martyred whilst reciting Surah Baqarah. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even gave him the verse that he would be reciting, and he said that blood would fall on that verse. Allahu Akbar. In the last days of the Khilafat, when Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala suffered great difficulty, even then he would observe nafl fasts and became occupied with the recitation of the Holy Quran. He was martyred when he was reciting the Holy Quran. The drops of the blood of martyrdom that gushed from his blessed body fell on the very same verse that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him about. Allahu Akbar. So you can see from this, even at that time, where they came in and they attacked him with knives and with spears, even at that time, what did he do? He carried on reading the Quran. Allahu Akbar. And there's so much reward in reading the Quran. If you just read the Quran, read even certain surahs can protect you. For example, if you recite Surah Yasin, the recitation which takes 8 to 10 minutes, but from a reward perspective, it is recited once, the sawab of completing the Quran 10 times will be obtained. The one who recites Surah Yasin will receive the reward of 20 Hajj. The fortunate person who recites it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and for the betterment of his hereafter, there is good news of forgiveness for him. Such a reward. Why? Reciting Surah Yasin. Allahu Akbar. How long? 8 minutes. How long? 10 minutes. You will get the reward of reading the Quran 10 times. You will get the reward of 20 Hajj. How long does it take you to read the Quran 10 times? How long does it take you to perform 20 Hajj? Recite Surah Yasin once with humbleness, with sincerity, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward you with all of this. Allahu Akbar. Surah Mulk. Allahu Akbar. In the Mahal of Dawud Islami, we are encouraged, Amir Al-Sunnah encourages us that every day after Salatul Maghrib, before you go to sleep or after Salatul Isha, then listen to or read Surah Mulk. Surah Mulk, it contains 30 verses. It takes 4 or 5 minutes to recite, but its sawab is excellent. Surah Mulk saves one from the punishment of the grave. Surah Mulk will contain to make intercession for its recitator until he is forgiven. Listen more and develop the yearning for reciting the Holy Quran. Allahu Akbar. It has been narrated that Surah Baqarah has a verse that is the chief of all of the verses of the Holy Quran. If it is recited in the home, shaitan leaves that home. And what is that verse? That verse is Ayatul Kursi. Allahu Akbar. Surah An-Nasr is equal to 1/4 of the Holy Quran. Surah Al-Kafirun is also equal to 1/4 of the Holy Quran. Surah Ikhlas is equal to 1/3 of the Holy Quran. Surah Al-Zilzala is equal to 1/2 of the Holy Quran. Allahu Akbar. If only we can get into habit of reading the Quran. Just think of the amount of reward. If I was to say to you from a monetary term, do this and you'll get this, you'd run after it. But why is it when it comes to these sort of things, we're not availing these opportunities? Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Khamis bin Hassan, Rahmatullahi ta'ala, he used to offer 1,000 nafil daily. Allahu Akbar. When he completed his nafil, he would not be able to walk. He would not be content with this, but being humble, he would say to himself, "O nafs, O the center of every evil, now get up for the second worship." And when he became weak in his last days, he would offer 500 rakat daily. Even upon this, he would say, "Alas, I have decreased to half of my worship." He was upset that now, because he's weak, he's only performing 500 nafil, but why is he was strong, he could perform 1,000. We said it earlier on, my dear brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, that whilst you are young, whilst you are strong, whilst you are healthy, you can do this ibadat. Yeah, and you, who knows that when you get older, your eyesight might go, that you might not be even blessed with being able to read the Quran. Your physical strength might not be able to do that, you can perform the nafil ibadat. Whilst you are young, whilst you are strong, do it. These are the blessings, this strength, this health, this eyesight, this tongue, all of these are the blessings if you use them properly. Allahu Akbar. Regarding, you know, the environment of Dawud Salam, if you are in the environment of Dawud Salam, I mentioned earlier on the Madani Namaz card. And in the Madani Namaz card, it mentions certain nawafil that you can read during the day. Tahajjud, Ishraq, Chasht, Awabin, Salatul Tawbah, etc. are all mentioned in there. So please download it from www.dawudislami.net and try and act upon it. Or also there's an app. You can actually download a Madani Namaz app and every day you can fill it. We are told, listen to this, I'm going to give you some examples now to hopefully try and persuade you, hopefully to try and do more ibadat. Those who have a tahajjud will be granted the towering places of paradise where outside can be seen from the inside and the inside can be seen from the outside. Allahu Akbar. Those who offer tahajjud will be forgiven without any accountability. Allahu Akbar. The one, listen to this, my viewers of Madani Channel. The one who, after offering Fajr Salah with Jamaat, and he becomes busy in doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal until the sun rises to its height, then he offers 2 rakat of Ishraq, he will get the sawad, reward of a complete Hajj and an Umrah. Allahu Akbar. The one who offers Chasht Salah regularly, his sins are forgiven, even if they are equal to the foam of the sea. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the one who offers 6 rakat after Maghrib, in a way that he does not say anything ill between them, then these 6 rakat will be equal to the worship of 12 years. 12 years worship, just 6 rakats after Salatul Maghrib. Allahu Akbar. We mentioned early on that the Madani Namaz card is one way of trying to fill in this and attain those rewards. Once Allah Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he went sightseeing at a certain place when he, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, visited Jabalpur. At the time of Maghrib Salah, the Musalla and Mats were spread on the sun to offer Salah. Mulana Mufti Abdul Baqi Burhan al-Haq Jabalpuri, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, the host of the Khalifa of Al-Hazrat, states that while I had just put my fingers into my ears to call the Azan, suddenly I heard the Azan. I saw that Al-Hazrat, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, was calling at the Azan. Then he himself called at the Iqamat and he also led the Maghrib Salah. Allahu Akbar. After offering the Salah, when we kissed his blessed feet, he, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, held my hand in his hand and he said, "It is stated in the blessed hadith that wherever the voice of Azan reaches, every particle of that place becomes a witness. This is the reason why I call out the Azan, so that the flowing river, the mountains, the trees, the vegetation, and the sand of this place become my witness." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. From this we can see that Allah Hazrat was extremely keen to earn more rewards. He saw this as an opportunity to earn more rewards. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, with regards to the Azan, he said, "O women, when you hear Bilal calling at the Azan and the Iqamat, repeat the words in the same way. As he says, as Allah Azza wa Jal will write for you 100,000 good deeds for every kalima. He will elevate your rank 1,000 times and he will erase 1,000 sins." Listening to this, the women humbly asked, "This is for us. What reward is for the men?" Allahu Akbar. And he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, replied, "It is double for the men." Allahu Akbar. Such a great blessing of answering the Azan. You know, maybe here we don't have the opportunity to answer the Azan, but when you go to those countries where you can hear the Azan, then please make a habit of at least answering the Azan then. And remember, like we said, that the more difficulty you face in performing a good deed, the greater the reward you will get. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the best act of worship is the one that requires more difficulty. So it's, you know, if it's hard, then you're going to be rewarded from it. When the leader of the Ahl Sunnah, Allah Hazrat Mulana Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala, went to perform the Hajj the second time. He fell ill just after reaching Makkah al-Mukarramah. At times he had such a high fever that he could not even stand properly. He had started suffering from the fever from the 13th of Zulhajj. Sometimes he had a high fever and mostly a low fever. He suffered from a fever for almost a complete blessed month of the month of Muharram. Allahu Akbar. Meanwhile, he was waiting anxiously to get better so that he could start his journey towards Medina Sharif to gain the blessings of the visit of the Rauza Rasul. Again, this was the intention that, Ya Allah, make me better so that I can go there. I want to go there to visit Medina. I want to go there to stand in front of the Rauza Rasul. I want to go there and get the blessings. So, not that I want to get better so I can go back to work, not so I can get better so I can go make more money, so I can go to Medina, so I can go and get this reward. Allahu Akbar. When I got better, he said that when I got better, in the last days of Muharram, I had a bath in the Sultani Hammam, the bathhouse over there. And when I came out, I saw the cloudy sky, which started raining while I reached the Blessed Haram. I remembered a hadith that a person who performs tawaf while it is raining, he swims in the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Immediately, I kissed the blessed black stone and I performed the complete tawaf while it was still raining. Allahu Akbar. And then as a result of that, I had the fever again. A great alim of deen, Mulana Sayyid Ismail rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that you do not worry about your body in order to act on a weak hadith, because this hadith, we were told that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you do tawaf at this time, you are swimming in the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla. The scholars have said that this is a weak hadith. So you're acting upon a weak hadith. Yeah? And he said that the hadith may be weak, but my expectation is strong. Allahu Akbar. He went on to say, I greatly enjoyed performing this tawaf because people performing tawaf were less in number than they used to be because of the rain. Allahu Akbar. The Allah Hazrat, even in this state, even in this state when he was ill, that he wanted to be able to go to Medina Sharif, he just recovered, he just had a bath, he still needed to look after himself, but then it started to rain and he saw a golden opportunity. What was the golden opportunity? To act upon this hadith where if you perform tawaf at this time, you're swimming in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he went for it. And as a result, what happened? He got the fever again. What did he get? He got the reward for performing that tawaf. He got the hope that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, I'm swimming in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what did he get on the other side? The fever. The fever goes, but our reward stays with him forever. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Amr bin Abd Qais, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was the greatest worshipper of his time. He made it compulsory upon himself to offer 1,000 nawafil every day. And therefore, he remained busy in offering nawafil from Ishraq till Asr, i.e. for most of the day. His shins and feet used to be badly swollen. He returned home, even after performing so much worship, he was so humble that he used to say to his nafs, O nafs, who call towards evil act, you have been created for worship by Allah Azza wa Jal. I will perform good deeds so much that you will not get the relief even for the instant, and you will remain far from comfort. I will keep you involved in performing good deeds all the time. This was the jazba, this was the enthusiasm of the pious predecessors, that no matter what, they stuck to the routines, stuck to the discipline of performing ibadah. Some blessed saints, it is said, that used to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla every day and every night. Sayyidina Muwaza Ad-Dawiyya rahmatullahi ta'ala said, used to say every morning, this was his intention. Every day he used to say to himself that this could be the last day of mine. This could be my last day. This could be the day that I die. Then he would not eat anything till evening, and he would say at night that this is the night of my death. So when he performed his namaz in such a state that he kept on, he had this feeling inside him that this could be my last chance. I'm going to pass away, so this is my last namaz. If only we could have this feeling inside us that when we're performing the namaz, this is our last namaz. That when we're doing dua in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, this is my last dua. What would your feelings be if you knew that this was your last dua? What would your feelings be if you knew that it was your last salah? Would you be doing your dua in such a way that you're saying, Ya Ameen, Ameen, and you're checking your message at the same time? Or would you humbly, sincerely concentrate in the court of Allah, remembering all those? This is your last opportunity to repent in the court of Allah. If only we could have this feeling every time. regarding that particular waqia that I just mentioned to you, with that person, he had this feeling all the time where he said that this is my last opportunity. That this today is the day that I'm going to die. Today is the day that I'm going to die. Tonight is the night that I'm going to die. Amir al-Sunnat, founder of Dawat Islami, Alama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Qatri Rizvi Ziyai, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon us. He is also such a great personality, and those of you that watch Madri channel will be able to see what a great personality he is, what a humble person he is, and how he lives his life. One day he had an all-night Madri Mashwara. What a Madri Mashwara is for viewers of Madri channel is that, alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami sets up such a system so that the organization of Dawat Islami can continue. Below Amir al-Sunnat, there's the Shura, and there are members in the Shura that run all of the activities of Dawat Islami. There are 160 departments currently of Dawat Islami. We're active in virtually every corner, every country of the world, and there are people that are responsible for each and every one of these actions. Then you go further down, and this work is passed down to levels, country level, region level, city level, halka level, all of these zimmadars looking after this work. But obviously this involves a lot of coordination, it involves a lot of management, it involves a lot of meetings. And in one particular meeting, a Madri Mashwara that took place all night, after the Fajr Salah, an Islamic brother humbly said to Amir al-Sunnat, that take some rest now. Yeah, because Amir al-Sunnat used to perform the Chaas Ishraq. Take some rest now and wake up at 10 o'clock, and therefore you may offer your Ishraq and Chaas after waking up. Listen to the words of Amir al-Sunnat. Allahu Akbar, listen to these words. Life cannot be trusted. I do not know whether I wake up after sleeping or not. Or maybe these would be the last nafil of my life. After saying this, he got up and he offered the chasht and the ishraq, and then, and only then, did he take a rest. Allahu Akbar. This enthusiasm, this jazba, this enthusiasm to perform good deeds. These pious predecessors, they had this jazba, they had this emotion to perform good deeds. They would take the opportunity to perform good deeds. They would look for opportunities to perform good deeds. They would think to themselves that this is my last opportunity to perform good deeds. So my dear viewers of Madri channel, the act of not being content with anything and always wanting more is greed. Our saints were always greedy to do good deeds, even at the time of the agony of the death, and they were anxious to perform good deeds. And we, my dear viewers of Madri channel, we need to be greedy. Yes, we need to be greedy as well. We need to be greedy for good deeds. Greedy to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Greedy to act upon the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Greedy to attain that knowledge that's going to enable us to get the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Greedy to acquire that knowledge so we can find out what the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, so we can act upon it and learn the Sunnah and get that reward. We need to have that greed inside us to attain all these things. Not only attain all these things, but act upon all these things as well. And no matter what difficulty you face, no matter what problem you face in achieving these goals, think to yourself that this is only a short-term pain, but a long-term gain. Whatever the pain is, it's short-term. Short-term pain, but a long-term gain. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this dunya, we've mentioned this before, this dunya is like a person put his finger in the ocean. He pulls his finger out, and the water that is on his finger is the dunya. The water that is in the ocean, that is the akhirat. Viewers of Madri channel, what are we running after? What should we be running after? The ocean. The ocean of the hereafter. The ocean of the hereafter. This is a golden opportunity. This is in fact, in one way, it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal that now you can discipline yourself. Now you can get yourself into a routine. Now you can do these things to sort yourself out and get yourself into a routine where you're not performing the bad acts that you were doing before. Get yourself into a routine where you're performing the 5 daily prayers. Get yourself into a routine where you're reading the Quran on a daily basis. Get yourself into the routine where you're performing the tahajjud. Get yourself into a routine, chaast, ishraq, awabin. Get yourself into a routine where you're doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Get yourself into a routine every single day where you're doing the durud-e paak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This in a sense is a blessing if you look upon it. If only you take this blessing. Because you know what will happen? This time it will pass. This time that we are facing here now, it will pass. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, it's going to pass. But what will be recorded is what you did during this time in your book of deeds. That's what will be recorded. if on the Day of Judgment you are asked that I give you that period of time where you couldn't go out and make money, that you could sit at home with your family, what did you do with that time? I slept 16 hours a day. No use. I watched all these dramas. Astaghfirullah. I watched these films. Astaghfirullah. I read all these novels. What benefit are you going to get from that? But if during this time you made an intention that inshallah azza wa jalla I will read one juz of the Quran every day. During this time you made an intention that I will read three ayats of the Quran every day. During this time you made an intention that I will make sure I never miss my five daily prayers. During this time you made an intention to worship Allah azza wa jalla, to do zikr. During this time you made an intention that I will recite 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 durood e paak every day, or at least 313 durood e paak every day, and you acted upon it, then just think where your status will be when you enter that dark and lonely grave. Just think where your status will be on the Day of Judgment when nobody will be there to help you. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, please keep tuned to Madani Channel. Keep watching Madani Channel and keep acting upon these Madani pearls that we're giving you today. Read the Quran on a daily basis. Read your namaz 5 times a day. And during the rest of the time, don't flick through the channels and watch dramas and watch other sort of things. Stay tuned to Madani Channel and acquire that knowledge. Acquire that knowledge that's going to benefit you when you're into that dark and lonely grave. Acquire that knowledge that you can act upon so you can get more deeds. You know, if a person's trying to, if you say to a person, look, if you do this course, yeah, and you become a gas engineer or a plumber or a mechanic or this, and you do this course and study, yeah, you'll be able to earn so much money. He's going to think, wow, that's a great idea. But I'm saying to you, look, acquire the knowledge of the deen. Acquire the knowledge of those things that can help you so you can get more deeds, more good deeds. Acquire the knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that when you act upon them, you get more deeds. We need to have this mentality as well. Not just the mentality that if we do that course, we'll make more money. Do these courses, do these online courses. Acquire the knowledge of the deen so that you can get more reward. I pray to Allah azza wa jal, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah azza wa jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah azza wa jalla that all the people that are watching this program today and all the people that will watch this program in the future, that learn to value their time, that learn to have greed inside them. Greed inside them for what? Greed for good deeds. Greed to attain the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla. And I pray to Allah azza wa jalla that we all have inside us, alongside all those worldly goals that we have, the goal of attaining paradise, the goal of pleasing Allah azza wa jalla, the goal of acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, stay calm and keep watching Madani Channel. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, tonight with Madani Channel, we'll be back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.